You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all of the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when you use code THPN during sign-up. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with the DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. Baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all the daily fantasy action, where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players, so what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Only at DraftKings.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bolts broadcast. My name is Mike Mitchelson. Chase Groshaw with me today. Chase, how are you feeling on this lovely Wednesday afternoon?
Feeling pretty well overall. It's a little weird that we're recording on a Wednesday. It's been a while since we've done this, but here we are.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't have class today, and I had a lot of homework that was due today, so I worked on all of that yesterday. Today's kind of a light day, which is great, but we do get to record now, and that means we're going to be able to cover the Tampa game that happened on Tuesday night rather than us being like, oh, we can't cover anything because we're recording 2 days early. But nonetheless, Chase, we got a good show today. We are going to be looking at the poll that we put up a while back, about a week ago. We're going to be looking at another move that happened with Tampa. Going to be talking, should there be some worry about this Tampa Bay Lightning team? They've been struggling recently. And then after our commercial break, doing a trade deadline breakdown, there were two trades that I'm excited to talk about. Two big names moving, so that's going to be exciting. But before we hop into that, Chase, I just have to say, oatmeal's gross, dude. Like, I don't know how people do it. I know you and I, we've both been trying to get a little bit healthier for our own reasons. So I got oatmeal because, you know, that's what all the healthy people do. And holy cow, it's terrible.
Oatmeal's disgusting, dude. The only oatmeal that's acceptable is oatmeal raisin cookies. I'm going to be honest. I will not eat oatmeal as a meal.
Dude, I've had it 2.5 weeks straight as my breakfast. I think I missed one day. But I oatmeal, put the oats in, and then I do it with water because I ran out of milk. So I do it with water, and then after it's done, do a little bit of honey and some fruit. And love honey, love fruit. Still a hassle for me to get it down. I think 2 days ago, I actually almost gagged on it. Just mush that's bland. Like, I don't get how people like it. Also, in this adventure of me going down the oatmeal line, I said I put fruit in it. Well, it's just a frozen bag of fruit. I've discovered I'm not a blackberry fan. I thought I was a blackberry fan over a raspberry fan. I've come to find out that is not the case. Blackberries, not my thing.
I'm not really a big fan of either, to be honest. If I had to choose one, I'd probably say I'll go with raspberries, but it's pretty low on my fruit totem pole, I guess, if that's the word I want to use. I don't know. The fruit pyramid, whatever that, whatever the hell you want to use. It's pretty low down there for me, either one of them.
Yeah, for sure. And then my last little thing that I had to bring up is kind of a would you rather. And this isn't hockey related, but for you listening, feel free to let us know what your thoughts are. You can tweet us at Bolts Broadcast on Twitter. But as I was cleaning my oatmeal bowl this morning, I realized that I don't get why. And it seems like it's a majority a men thing. I don't get why guys would rather do dishes than laundry, because laundry, you just throw shit in the washer, wait a half hour, throw it in the dryer, wait a half hour, and fold it. Like, it's not that hard. Where dishes, if you have oatmeal or anything cheese-related, like, you're going to have to scrub that shit. I don't know about you. I'd rather do laundry than dishes.
If I don't have to fold the laundry, then sure, sign me up. I hate folding laundry. It's probably, if I had to say of like everyday, like, you know, normal life tasks, the only thing worse than folding laundry is grocery shopping. Oh my God, I hate grocery shopping so, so much. But folding laundry is terrible. I would rather wash dishes, honestly. I don't have a problem washing dishes. I can do it pretty quick because, like, our dishwasher up at school was a piece of garbage, never worked. So I got pretty good at it. So I don't really have an issue.
Okay, so let's do this. You got to do a full load of your own laundry and you have to do the folding at the end versus you have to empty a full dishwasher and refill the dishwasher. You'd rather do the dishwasher?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Cause me, I hate emptying the dishwasher. Like, it's not that hard. It's just kind of a lazy thing. Like, especially the silverware. Like, there's always 50 different utensils in there, and it's just a pain in the ass. Honestly, I just throw some Game of Thrones or some Marvel or something up on my laptop while I'm folding laundry. Really easy, really simple. But I'd be interested to see what other people think. So if you are on one end of the spectrum, you think laundry is so much easier, or you think dishes is so much easier, I hate the other, let us know at Bolts Broadcast. We would love to hear about that. But Chase, we'll hop into the show now. I had to get the little gripes of my daily life out of the way. But we'll start. We got poll results. We got one day left. So as this episode drops, you may have some time to vote, but it's really going to be winding down at about 1-2 p.m. on Thursday. So right now, Chase, you are in the lead. Congratulations. The first time you're ever beating me in something. What are you thinking?
I'm pretty sure last time I did one of these, I beat you too. So that's just not factual. Nor is it factual in everyday life, but I mean, I knew I was going to win. I'm superior. I have the better team. I have the goal scorers. I have the best young defenseman in the league. I have probably the favorite for the Norris Trophy right now. I mean, I'm vibing.
Oh, there are so many things wrong with that sentence. The best young defenseman in the league is Rasmus Dahlin, according to Chase, the guy who's been pretty average to below average on that Buffalo Sabre team, which you can say it's the Sabres, but still, if you're the best young defenseman in the league, you should at least look like it. I will admit you do have the goal scorers. I like my defense better. I like my goaltending better. I said in the tweet or in the poll, I commented on my own Twitter, defense and goalie win championships. That's why the Tampa Bay Lightning are your current Stanley Cup champs. People didn't see it that way. That's completely fine, though. And also, you said, like, everyday type of stuff. You beat me. Who won those games in Call of Duty last night?
Call of Duty, dude. You're so good. You're so cool. Because you're the host on your fiber internet.
Oh, boy.
And I got Dylan on my team pulling out the sniper, dude.
Here it is. I had Dylan on my team.
Yeah, even when you do get Dylan, I get John and Alec just radio silence. Just no help.
John and Alec were the... You, John, and Alec are the 2-3-4 players amongst the six that we're playing. So how did the 2-3-4 not beat the 1-5-6? Are you gonna blame my internet connection again? Because I mean,
because when Haley is at 5, in my opinion. I think Dylan's the worst in that lobby, and she's closer to 2 than 2 is closer to 1.
Wow, there you go. So it's not the internet, it's just the pure skill.
Like, it helps you out, but it just, you got such an advantage there, man.
Also, my mom texted me today. The controller has come in, So when I drive home tomorrow, I will have the Pro controller. I'll be back to my prime. I've fallen out of my prime, even though it doesn't seem like it. But that's just because of how damn good I am. But we'll move on from, you know.
Thank God.
Boosting our egos. I mean, you had enough time. I probably should get a little bit more, but I'll forfeit that. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning. We obviously made the David Savard trade. We didn't really see much else coming. We did make a minor move to add a depth defenseman. Is this really going to be a big deal? Maybe once we go into playoffs and some injuries happen, but really, it's not a move to be super excited for, super intrigued about.
Yeah, I don't imagine Freddie Claesson gets in at all. So did we do enough at the deadline is really kind of where it stands. You know, when you watch the game last night, you see Mikkelainen and you see the team playing in front of him and everything went about as bad as it could. It looked really ugly. So you kind of start to wonder, oh, should they have went and tried to acquire a goalie? Should they maybe try to add another piece up front? But really, I think we did do enough. I don't think we really could have done much more. It would have been really hard to try to, you know, create the extra cap space. It might have been able to be done. Maybe you can go after a guy like Jonathan Bernier, a guy who I thought for sure was going to be traded, but instead Rittich was the goalie that was traded the other day. You know, you could have tried to go for a Bernier so you can have a better backup, a guy that if he has to start, you can actually trust him to win games, whereas Mikkelainen, Christopher Gibson, those guys just aren't it. But adding David Savard was such a massive piece. It really shores up that right side. It creates immense defensive depth. And once Kucherov comes back to the lineup, I mean, there's not a single hole in offense. There's not a single hole in defense. And with Vasilevskiy net, there's no hole in net. So when this team, when it's the same lineup every night, your same goalie starting going into playoffs, you really shouldn't have, you know, too much to worry about.
Yeah, I agree. And you brought up a good point with Kucherov. Our team is currently fourth in goals for in the whole league. So I definitely don't think forward needed to be addressed, because when Kucherov comes back, it's going to put us over the top right now without him. Like I said, fourth. Adding the defensive help on the right side especially was very key to what could be some great success in the playoffs. And then goaltending, we talked about it. Maybe there's possible options out there to look for to back up instead of Mikkelainen. But Mikkelainen, we've talked about it before. He doesn't get many games. So when you expect him to come in and be hot, that's not really going to be the case. We just got to hope that Vasilevskiy stays healthy. And if that's if that happens, I don't see why this team can't make another deep push.
Yeah, I mean, like I kind of, you know, in the notes kind of wanted to talk about it more too during the game part, but we're kind of airing it out all here, so we might as well just finish it up. And you know, going forward, is there something to worry about with this team? You know, with just how they looked last night specifically, because they looked really bad last night. Nothing went right. Mikkelainen looked terrible in that. And really, you just said it, and I kind of said earlier too, there really isn't too much to worry about, because when it's the real players, when it's the true team, when it's the real starting goalie in net, it's a pretty damn near impossible team to beat.
I have to say, I do understand if there's people out there that do have some worries right now, because end of February, into March, we were crazy hot, like one of the best hot streaks you can get in the NHL. And then now in our last 10 games, we're 4-6. And that's a slump. That is a slump. Maybe not for Buffalo, but when it comes to the Tampa Bay Lightning, that's a slump. Whether you look at it as just, you know, overall Tampa Bay Lightning, that's a slump. Or whether you look at it as the Tampa Bay Lightning that won, what was it, 12, 13, 14 games in a row, that's a giant slump. So I get if there is some worry out there. I would just say be patient. We've only got a couple more games of the regular season to go. We're a good team. We've got a lot of really good pieces. As long as we can stay healthy and we get good players like Kucherov back in the lineup, once playoffs come, I feel very confident.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat there. And last little piece before we move on, you know, Victor Hedman has been playing kind of bad lately. You know, plus minus, it's kind of a loaded stat. But he's something like minus 11 in the last six or seven games or whatever the hell it is. He's been having some tough goes. And, you know, that's worrisome. He's losing his Norris momentum, while Adam Fox's Norris momentum just keeps growing and growing as he leads defensemen in scoring. And he's been one of the better defensive defensemen, too, which is just incredible how he's played this year. You know, props to him. So that looks like it might be Adam Fox's award or somebody else's award this year instead of Hedman's, the way he's slipping. But at the end of the day, I don't give a shit if he wins the Norris or not. He's going to go into playoffs. He's going to be ready to work. He's going to want to repeat, and he's going to be back up to his normal self.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, he had a minus four in Tuesday night's game, and that's kind of, like Chase said, plus minus is kind of a loaded stat anyways, but when you're in a game against the Nashville Predators, you got Curtis McElhinney in net, you're down, you want your best players on the ice. So Victor Hedman going to be on the ice a lot, and sometimes goals go in, especially against a Curtis McElhinney rather than an Andrei Vasilevskiy. So that minus four, like, he hasn't been playing the greatest, like you said, but the minus four, a little bit loaded. It's not like he's Rasmus Dahlin on the Buffalo Sabres this year where he's just completely fallen off. He's looked clueless at times. That's not the case with Victor Hedman. It's just he's out there a lot. You're playing a goalie that's not the greatest. You're playing against a good team. It's going to happen.
For sure.
All right, Chase, well, let's talk about a entry-level contract that the Tampa Bay Lightning has signed.
Yes, sir. Cole Koepke, a six-round pick, the Tampa Lightning 2018, recently signed his entry-level deal. So Cole comes from the University of Minnesota Duluth. He will be starting the season, or finishing the season, I should say, in Syracuse, and his entry-level will kick in next season. So he's not eligible to be part of Tampa Lightning at all this year in any way. You gotta wait till next year if we want to have any chance of seeing him. Not that we're going to anyway. He's pretty much locked to like spend a year, maybe two, in the American League with the depth of this team and kind of where he's at in his development. But I mean, he's a hell of a player. He was a great value in the sixth round. He played great minutes for Minnesota Duluth. You know, coming in as a true freshman, he still played in 42 games and had 19 points. So not bad for a young kid. And his production just continued to grow. And there's a lot to look forward to with him as a pro. You know, he's going to be he's got the potential, I should say, to be like a nice middle six to bottom six kind of scorer, work hard type guy, which would be great for the Lightning.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chase, we'll move on to game review, game preview. I don't want to spend much time on the game review. We kind of talked about it a little bit. We went down early against the Predators. We weren't able to come back. A 7-2 loss. It's tough.
Yeah, it was bad. It was just as bad as it can go. So going forward, you just got to put it behind you, move on. We got Florida coming up and just focus on the next goal.
And that's the nice thing is coming up, we have six straight games at home. We know how good this Tampa Bay Lightning team is at home. So if we can bank off or rack up a couple of wins here, maybe we can get that first seed in our division and continue with home ice advantage into the playoffs. But Chase, like you said, we've got Florida next. Florida made a lot of moves, and we'll talk about some of those moves after the commercial break. But they made a lot of moves, a lot of good moves that they're trying to push to that next level. Currently, they're third in our division. This is a team that, you know, we've had some success against this year. They have taken some too. But what are you thinking right now? Our team's struggling. However, we're going home. We're the better team on paper. What are your thoughts?
So Florida's got a completely revamped roster, kind of like you mentioned, and we'll mention a little more going forward who they got. But they're a good team now. They're a better team than they were, and they are already playing really well, kind of one of the surprises in the NHL this year. They should have no issue making the playoffs going forward. And it's gonna be a good matchup. I kind of imagine this is going to be a 1-1 split. It's going to be hard to completely shake off what happened in the 7-2 game. You know, you're going to want to come out hot. And you could, but at the same time, if you come out hot, you know, in the first game, you're going to kind of leave a little more to be wanted in the second game. So imagine one of these games, Tampa's going to fall, Florida's going to take the win. It should be a good series. You know, we can kind of get a good look at Florida, at what they're going to be the rest of the season, you know, in this matchup. We finish up the season too, actually. So we got four more games total with Florida, and, you know, there's a good chance it's the team we eventually see in the playoffs. So seeing what this roster looks like from four more games, you know, two more coming up, it's going to be interesting.
And Chase, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Spencer Knight. Obviously, he signed his entry-level deal. When do you think there's a possibility we could see him? How many games do we got to wait? Is it going to be a last two games of the regular season type thing? Is it going to be in the playoffs? Are we not going to see him at all? I would feel like they have to play him at some point with Bobrovsky struggling and Chris Dreiger being your top guy.
Well, let's put it this way. We won't see him at all. He will not play against the Tampa Bay Lightning unless we get down to those last two games of the season and it just cemented in Florida's where they are in the playoffs. They're not moving. If they have a chance to continue to move up, you know, in their playoff seating, they're going to keep playing Dreiger probably at that point. But if it's in a spot where, all right, it is what it is, you're here, you're not moving, you know, maybe they'll give him a shot then to see what he can do. he might play in the meantime, in between then, a game here or there. He's definitely like worth giving the shot. He's obviously not gonna be the guy you ride with in playoffs. You know, they have two guys ahead of him, and it just is what it is. Whether he might be the best guy for it or not, it is what it is. It's how the world works, how the NHL works. So hopefully he can at least get a couple games in, and there's a very, very slim chance that like you and I can actually have a chance to see him against the Tampa Bay Lightning, but it's pretty low.
It'd be tough too to go in one of your first NHL games, if not your first NHL game, against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who is just an absolute powerhouse. I talked about how we're fourth in goals for per game this year. Well, if they go up against us, and even if we get Kucherov back for his first game, that's got to be tough. That could hurt his confidence. And if you hurt a goalie's confidence, that's not good.
No, God, no.
All right, Chase. Well, that is it for our game preview with the Florida Panthers. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. On the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about the trade deadline. Some surprising moves, I won't lie. Not a lot, but there was a couple that were pretty juicy. So we'll talk about that right after this.
HF Boards is the internet's largest and longest running community for discussion surrounding ice hockey, including coverage of the NHL, college teams, and anywhere else the sport is played globally. Join in nearly 500,000 active conversations happening now on HF Boards.
All right, and we are back, Chase. Trade deadline happened on Monday. I had it in the background all day. I had two classes that I had to sit through, but I did have it on the TV. I was able to pay attention to it. Not a lot of stuff from early, like 12 a.m., which is when the Jeff Carter trade happened, when the Taylor Hall trade happened. But from then until, I don't know, about 1 or 2, there really wasn't much happening. But it always happens that last hour things start to pump out. A lot of good trades to talk about. Chase, let's start with the big one. We talked about Taylor Hall. He needs to get traded. He did get traded, and he's going to Boston.
Yeah, kind of a underwhelming return, I guess, if you want to say that. So technically this wasn't on trade deadline day. It was the day before, but it was late at night. It was pretty much trade deadline day. So it was Taylor Hall and Curtis Lazar for Anders Bjork in a second round pick this year. You know, kind of underwhelming for Buffalo, kind of not needed for Boston, just to be honest with you. I think Curtis Lazar is more of a factor in their playoff push than Taylor Hall will be. I think Taylor Hall is a tremendous player. Don't get me wrong. It just, he's not their type of player. I don't know exactly where he's going to fit in with. Whereas Curtis Lazar, he can play a really crucial bottom six, you know, penalty kill type team, like a team type of role. And I think Hall, honestly, he might be a little lost in that lineup. So kind of weird for Boston, but they didn't really give up that much at the end of the day. So I guess it's worth it.
Yeah, for sure. It's a weird fit. My dad, he's a big Boston Bruins fan. He texted me. He goes, what do you think of that trade? Do you like it? Do you not like it? I'm like, well, you guys didn't really give up much. Anders Bjork is a young player that I know Chase and I, we loved him when he was with the USA junior team. However, he really hasn't found his footing yet. So if Buffalo can make him a good player, which can Buffalo make prospects good players? It doesn't seem like it. Plus a second. I mean, that's not giving up much. And Taylor Hall, former Art Ross winner, Boston's getting a good player. Is it going to be a good fit? Kind of. It doesn't seem like it, I guess.
It's not going to put them over the hump to win the Stanley Cup, because honestly, they're just not a whole enough team to do it.
Yeah, and it just seems like Boston doesn't really have that goaltending that they did the past couple of years when they've been a good team. Tuukka, ever since he left the bubble last year, he's just kind of, he hasn't been that elite goaltender that we've always known and love. So we'll see. Boston, can they make some moves? I think so. But will they? In my opinion, not there. But, Chase, let's talk about another top contender in the East, and this is the Pittsburgh Penguins. They add Jeff Carter for a third and a fourth round pick, both being conditional. What do you think of that move? Does that push the Penguins over the hump like Boston was hoping with Taylor Hall?
No. Like, this is a fine piece. You think you're still in a window where you can win with Crosby and Malkin, but reality is you're just not in that window. You know, those guys can get hot and can really help carry your team, But the goaltending just is kind of meh. It's not really there enough. You know, the defensive group is fine, just at best. It's nothing really more than that. But you didn't give up much for Jeff Carter. Not a big deal. If you don't hit the conditions, which I think they got to move past the first round and or something, and he's got to play 50 games now, something along the lines of that. If you don't hit those conditions, it's a third and a fourth, whatever. That's not a big deal for a team that thinks they can still contend, and then not even for this year either. So it is what it is. And also, Jeff Carter gives you another piece that you can expose in the expansion draft because he's got 2 years on his contract, if I'm not mistaken. You got to have a minimum of 2 forwards, 1 defenseman, and a goalie that meet the NHL's criteria to expose. So Jeff Carter gives him that option too.
Yeah, and I think that it was a decent move because Jeff Carter's a guy that gives you a little versatility. He can play on the inside at center. He can play on the outside on the wing. He can play a lot of different positions. I again, don't think it pushes the Pittsburgh Penguins over the hump, but how the mighty have fallen. I mean, you talked about goaltending, how it's not really there for the Penguins. If we look back, what was it, 3-4 years ago, right as Vegas was coming in, the Penguins still had Fleury at the time. Matt Murray's coming off of 2 straight rookie season Stanley Cup victories, which is kind of weird to say, but that was the case. And then Tristan Jarry was tearing it up in Wilkes-Barre. Well, now they're only left with Tristan Jarry, Casey DeSmith as well. Jarry hasn't really shown that he's that elite goaltender they were hoping he could be. So from what looked like a stacked goaltending room, and they had Philip Gustavsson, from what looked like a stacked goaltending room, now it's pretty barren.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. We've seen it with a couple of younger goalies, you know, both guys from Pittsburgh and Tristan Jarry and Matt Murray. Then you look at Carter Hart, and as of right now, he has the second worst save percentage in like the NHL since 2006 or something along the lines of that. You know, we've seen some of these young goalies really struggle for whatever reason it may be. And Pittsburgh is they really felt that heavily because they had Fleury, obviously, you know, they let him go in the expansion draft. And they thought they were good with their young goalies. And turns out Casey DeSmith is probably the best of the three. And if Casey DeSmith's your best goalie, that's not a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, Chase, I want to hit on 2 trades that happened right before the trade deadline, both involving Toronto, as Toronto brought in David Rittich and Nick Foligno for a 2021 first-round pick, 2022 fourth-round pick, and 2022 third-round pick. The third went to Calgary. The first and the fourth went to Columbus. What are your thoughts on that? Does Nick Foligno and David Rittich get them over the hump?
I think it's actually like a really nice addition for both these, like for this team, I should say, for, you know, getting these two guys. Does it put them over the hump? I don't know. I think it helps solidify that they're the best team in the North Division. I think they should have no issue getting to the third round unless they pull some Toronto shit and then just choke again, which could very well happen. But Nick Foligno's a guy. He's going to go in. He's going to provide tremendous leadership. He's not going to do anything for you offensively. He's just not that kind of player. He'll help you out defensively, and he'll kind of do the right things, which is great and all. But, you know, giving up a first and a fourth for a guy to just do the right things could be a bit lofty. You know, we did it last year in getting Blake Coleman and Barclay Goodrow, and it worked out very well for us. So they could be kind of following that model. And then you go over to David Rittich, and he's just going to kind of provide you that extra goaltending depth. Freddie Anderson's been hurt, and when he has been playing, has been kind of whatever, whereas Jack Campbell has been kind of electric, honestly. He's playing tremendous. He's a big reason that Toronto's in the position that they are. They should probably roll with him going forward, just roll the hot hand. Once he slows down, then go to Freddie Anderson. And then if you need to, you got David Rittich here too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope the best for Toronto because I'm a big Austin Matthews fan, but I can't see them getting any further than out of the Canadian division because I just feel like overall that division is kind of a step down when it comes to the depth of that division in comparison to the others. I think a Colorado or a Vegas could take out Toronto, so we'll have to wait and see. But Chase, speaking of Vegas, they also made a move. They gave up a 2021 second round pick, a 2022 third round pick to bring in Matthias Janmark and a fifth. I don't really see this pushing them over the hump. I do still think they're a good team and could see them beating Toronto, but this move doesn't really make me go, wow, this is it.
Yeah, it's a fine move. It's really all it is. You know, adding a guy like Matthias Janmark, he's a good player, and he's someone who's going to provide kind of versatility that you look for in a lineup. You know, he scores decent enough, and he plays well defensively too. So it's kind of a guy that you need on your team. but he's not someone that, that changes anything. They're kind of in the same boat that they were. They gave up a couple draft picks just to bring in this dude. You know, sure, good for you, but when it comes to the teams that they're going to be facing in the first and second round, it doesn't make them any better.
Absolutely. And Chase, is there any trades you want to talk about before we hit this buzzer beater trade that happened at the end of the trade deadline and was pretty big, to be honest?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously that one was the big one. You know, we could, if we wanted to, you know, we could hit on what Florida did. You know, they like one of the trades, getting Sam Bennett and a 6th round pick for Emile Heineman, who is an emerging prospect, and a 2nd round pick. I don't have an issue with that. You know, Sam Bennett, he could get a different opportunity in Florida, something that he wasn't really getting in Calgary. I liked him coming out as a prospect, obviously kind of a punchline joke that he couldn't do any pull-ups, but regardless, they add him and maybe he can make an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And we previously talked about how they brought in Brandon Montour as well as Nikita Gusev when they signed him after he got cut by the Devils. But Chase, moving into that final trade.
Actually, I'm sorry. I want to bring up this one too, just real quick, hit on it because it didn't make much sense to me. The Hurricanes trading away Hayden Fleury for Yanni Hakanpaa and a 6th round pick, that just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. I feel like there's got to be something going on inside the org with Hayden Fleury. Maybe there's some miscommunication or maybe the coaches just didn't see what Hayden Fleury had to offer, because he seems like he's a good young defenseman that could emerge as a solid top four for a team. But they decided that wasn't where he was going to fit with them, so they traded him away. It was weird for sure.
Yeah.
But Chase, we'll move on to that big one. The buzzer beater. The Washington Capitals acquire Anthony Mantha from the Detroit Red Wings. Going back to Detroit, Jacob Vrana, Richard Panik, a 2021 first round pick and a 2022 second round pick. That's huge for Detroit. And I am in favor of Detroit on this trade. I think Stevie Y did a great job moving someone he didn't think was going to be in his prime when the kind of franchise brings it all together. He's not really in that age range. So they moved on from him, brought in 2 younger players. Richard Panik's not really that young, but then also adding a 1st and a 2nd, that's huge.
You know, if I had to choose the biggest winner from this deadline, you usually look at winners as the guys who bulk up for the playoffs, but I don't think any team did that enough this year. You know, if you want to say that, Tampa's probably honestly that team. But the true winner, just based on what they got for their organization in terms of value and what they're doing going forward, it's clearly Detroit. I mean, they pretty much paid to buy a draft pick a couple days ago with a 3-way trade with Tampa and Columbus. And then in this, Anthony Mantha, who is a hell of a player, you know, he's going to be great in Washington. He's already scored his first goal there. You know, he's awesome. But to get a 1st, a 2nd, plus 2 NHL players and someone like Jacob Vrana, who scores at a pretty similar rate, doesn't necessarily bring the right, or the same intangibles, I should say, not the right intangibles, the same intangibles as Anthony Mantha, but is still a tremendous player in his own right and is going to be great for the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, hats off to Stevie Y.
Absolutely. He continues to be one of the best GMs in the league. He's taking the same approach he did with this Tampa Bay Lightning team. So who knows? The Red Wings, they might be back on top in a couple years soon, and that could be scary. But I have to say, when the Red Wings are at the top, that is when hockey is some of the best. I mean, you don't like to see big, high-class teams be at the bottom because it just brings less intrigue, I think. Like, if the Yankees and the Red Sox constantly sucked, would the MLB be super fun to watch? Maybe for teams that are, or maybe for fans that are fans of other teams, but that Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, they're always good. That's what brings a lot of viewership, and the Red Wings are in a similar light, one of the original 6 teams. When they're good, the NHL is going to get more attention.
Oh, yeah, dude. Everybody loves an underdog, don't get me wrong. But when it comes down to it, if the original 6, if they're all bad or if the majority are bad, it hurts the league because it's such a marketable tool. Having these teams, they go back to 1926, and they still have, you know, the same core team, or like in terms of their branding and stuff. You know, they're still in the same city, still like pretty similar logo. Like, they, you know, they got all the stuff going all the way back, and it really is hard, makes it a lot harder for the league to market themselves, and just a lot harder for fans to kind of, you know, recognize brands if these teams are really bad. Because when you go into the playoffs, if you're certain through, you know, I'm not a hockey fan, but there's playoffs on, let me watch this, and then it's, Let's just go Vegas versus San Jose, for example. You know, that was a playoff series a couple years ago. It ended up being a pretty good series, but the only people that are watching that are people that are above the casual level fan. Anybody casual or below will not watch that. Whereas if it's the Red Wings and the Blackhawks or the Red Wings and the Bruins, I mean, even like casual fans and guys even below that, like, or guys and girls, excuse me, below that level are going to tune into that too. So it's just much better for the league when these guys are going.
Absolutely. And Chase, we only have about 10 to 12 games left, give or take a couple for all the teams until we start moving into playoffs. So excited for that. But we'll now move on to hockey name of the day. Chase, scrolling down here, we've got Sandro Schoenberger.
Yeah. Yeah, so I actually don't know exactly how to pronounce this first name. I would have to guess it's Sandro, too, because it is German. I usually make sure I know the pronunciations, but this one, I didn't have a name prepared for today, to be honest. And so I was like, I just like this name. I look at it, it's just visually appealing, so we're going to go with it. So, but it's for sure Schoenberger. So Sandro Schoenberger is the name. He's a German forward. He's 34 years old, kind of an older guy, but recently just signed an extension with Straubing. He's been their captain for, almost 8 seasons now. He's a good player for the German league. He hasn't played internationally for them in quite some time. You know, he's not a special player by any means, but he's just a good kind of, you know, leader and like veteran presence for the German league.
And who doesn't love alliteration and names? I mean, Chase Kroshaw, Mike Mitchelson, Sandro Schoenberger, like all just elite studs.
That's fair.
All right, Chase. Well, that's going to do it for the episode. We want to thank everyone for coming out. But before, if you could give them a quick rundown on how to stay up to date with us, that'd be so great.
As always, guys, if you'd like to support us on Patreon, we'd really appreciate it. Nothing required. It's not just us. It's the whole podcast network. So you can check us out there. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, that is at Bolts Broadcast. If you want to follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet, that's at HockeyPodNet. And if you want to follow WMP on Twitter at WMP Sports Pod, that's WMP Sports Pod. Following Bolts Broadcast, you're going to get your Tampa Bay Lightning talk and your hockey talk. Following the Hockey Podcast Network, you're going to get all the updates within the network. And then you follow WMP, you're going to get our football information, or our football podcast information, I should say. And while you're at it, while you're checking out Bolts Broadcast, go make sure to retweet our tweet. We have a current graphic up with a Tampa Bay Lightning jersey. You'll see it on there. It's a giveaway we're doing. If we end up with the most retweets in the network, we get to give away a Tampa Bay Lightning jersey. So make sure to get in on that. Regardless, check out the hockeypodcastnetwork.com. Find all the podcasts in the network right there. Boom, click the logo. Listen easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever listening, rate us 5 stars. Send us your questions, comments, concerns. And please use code THPN at DraftKings.
Thanks so much for coming out. We'll talk to you next time.